What's going on, good people? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of North of the Numbers. I'm DJ Ambush. I'm here with Justice Raji of Reimagine Oregon. How you doing today, good sir?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm feeling good.
Okay. All right. I'm feeling great. You got that DAP hoodie on.
Yeah.
First thing I spotted, I said, okay. All right. All right. So didn't get mine yet. They're hard to come by.
Yeah, I feel like the second set with the plaid pattern.
Yeah.
I had it on deck to order, and then I talked myself into like let me think about it for 30 minutes, and then it was gone. So I said, "Dang,
nah."
So yes, yeah. You know, try to catch it when you can catch
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
you, know
you got to. Well, for anyone that may not know, what Reimagine Oregon is, I definitely want to make sure we cover that. But we try to make sure we're centering voices of Portlanders, Black Portlanders. It's mm-hmm. just part of the mission of what we do here.
Okay.
So let's tell listeners a little bit about yourself.
So I'm Justice Raji, director of the Reimagine Oregon Project, pronouns he, him. Wow. So it's a lot of things. I mean, mm-hmm. I've been in Oregon and lived here for about 19 years now, raised my family here. So I'm a parent. I spent most of my professional time here actually working with youth and families, and especially the last 10 years working with youth and families involved with the criminal justice system.
Okay.
Especially young men coming home, like young men are coming home with adult charges. Mm. And then for the last about 2 years, I've moved over, you know, here and have led Reimagine Oregon, which is an accountability project.
Okay.
All right. That was started to, primarily to make sure with the turmoil and all we were experiencing starting in 2020, that the relationship between the frustration that was released, mm-hmm. you know, at the murder of George Floyd, is rooted in the overall experience, you know, of Black folks and other people, right?
Of course.
You know, people in broadly, right? But, you know, just centered, you know what I'm saying, on Black folks. And that to make sure that the different policy work that a myriad of organizations, the programmatic work organizations and just community members work on are not lost in these moments of frustration, right? Mm. That the connection to why folks are having, you know, experiencing harm, are frustrated, you know, are concerned about their, if their voice is heard or if they'll be respected, you know, it didn't just all start in the last 2 months or in the last day, right? And so the project, and those who began, I wasn't there in this role at the beginning, but wanted to create a space to have a direct engagement with elected officials and ask them to take responsibility for some of the, take something in this list, in this set of different issues.
Mm.
And if you can take leadership to work on this with the organization that's working on that, do that. Mm-hmm. If Reimagine Oregon's going to try to track this work and try to hold folks accountable and have kind of an interface space to say, where is this at? Is it done? Is it not done? Is it moving? Is it not moving? It's a bit, you know, complicated, but that's essentially how we land here. And then again, for me, it's, I've done a lot of different roles in terms of service and being in the community outside of places I've been paid. I've tried to, you know, I show up and volunteer for various things over various points in my life, but and I like to cook. I wear a size 12 shoe just in case anybody out there want to send the brothers
some kicks.
You know,
what's your hoodie size? Let them know.
Double X.
Okay.
You know, like
all right.
X,
okay.
You know, so you know, I like jokes. You know what I'm saying? I like to see the ocean. You know, long walks under the cherry blossoms.
Okay.
You know, these are all things
good
that
to
are
know.
Important to me.
So like, okay. You said you described Reimagine Oregon as an accountability project, and I love that because without accountability, what do we have? Like, it's a bunch of empty promises, and you know, and we just roll into the next budget.
Mm-hmm.
How did it come about? Like, what were some of the organizations or people early on? Was it just a meeting? Was it just like everyone filling?
Well,
you know,
I'll give some. I don't want to step on the whole story because mm-hmm. actually a part of the work over the rest of this year will actually be making sure that origin and kind of how we got here is
good.
Captured and shared.
Good.
But what I'll say is, let me see, and I hope I don't, I know I can't remember every name, but the Urban League, at the time, Leadership from Join, CCC, Imagine Black, Unite Oregon, NAMAC was on there, POIC.
Okay.
Kairos.
Wow.
So I'm trying to remember. I think the kind of the interface with at the time, which was like with the protest work, was Rural City Justice.
Yep.
I think that entity, yeah, folks from that entity were involved in those meetings. A myriad of other just community members who maybe either had standing or place to be in the place. That's a brief list. I may have missed some folks, and it's not intentional just to say there was a broad swath of folks that were basically invited. What was hopefully just to be an initial, like a conversation to make sure there was an interface.
Right.
And then it kind of grew into like, in order to get some things done, it needs to be to kind of meet some more.
Right.
Right. And,
nah, that's fresh.
And, yeah.
Nah, that's amazing. A lot of those organizations you named, we've either been in, some type of community partnership with or have a relationship with. So I was very happy to hear that. For me, it's always about the community-based organizations that are on the ground actually working with people that have the most vital information on how we need to get the job done. You know, people sitting in places of leadership and power that are so far removed from the issues that they want to govern. And then it's like, but if you listen to the people that are actually involved, the people that are from that community, these things seem relatively easy to solve. And as I have very, very limited interaction with city government, I am a citizen. I'm active. I'm paying attention to the issues. And a lot of this stuff doesn't seem difficult as far as the solutions, right? And I do feel that when you come from a less privileged position in society, your problem solving skills are a little bit different. They're more tied to your survival. So the ability to find these solutions is like, oh no, that's simple. We don't need to hee-haw about it. Let's just do these 1, 2, 3 things and then we're good to go. We've seen this happen. We know how this works. What are some of the challenges that you feel like you faced just dealing with trying to make some things happen for us?
Well, I mean, I think the thing, and I think it's fantastically frustrating for most of us in our lives, is, you know, government is a good thing that we have a structure, we have some way to like implement the will of the people, right, so to speak. The challenge is, say even something as simple as replacing, I mean, I know there was a recent issue just in Portland Parks about replacing lights and people were upset. And, and I'm not here to litigate any of that. Cause I don't know enough about all of that. I would probably say something I shouldn't, but what I will say is to fix a light, a government entity has to go through a whole process to make sure that it's legal and who does the work. And is it inside the city? Is it not inside the city?
Right.
How many lights are there? Like there might be, you know, For us, we may experience an issue related to public space that's like the park by our house.
Right.
You know, your city or state government got to think about all of the lights.
Yeah.
Possibly. Again. Yep. Right. So some of these things, they're simple, but then it gets challenging. Saying that to say, I'm not here. You know, government can speak for itself.
Right.
Speaking for me, what you find is if you want to improve let's say the way even just folks' ability to engage with government. Like, so one of the items that one of the orgs had was around per diems when folks are like doing these different boards and things with the state, right? Which, you know, if you serve on like a board that's doing implementation of a piece of, you know, state legislation, a lot of times, you know, they may, if you have to travel to Salem, like they'll pay for your travel, pay for you to be able to stay overnight, pay for you so you can eat. And that's very, you know, that seems like, oh, well, yeah, the state should easily be able to do that. But then it gets complicated. Like, how long to your state employee if we're paying you? If you're getting benefits, right? If you're especially for lower income folks,
right,
if you're receiving benefits, at what point is the state helping you, paying you to make sure you can be here and be present and contribute?
Right.
Impacting your capacity to get your benefits and services that you need, you know, that will still be there when you're done doing your civic duty to show up for all of us, right? So these things get challenging, right? And we have to be thoughtful. You run into, you know, folks have positions based on, you know, other considerations around different ideas that folks want to move. Then you get implementation challenges, meaning, oh, the city should do this. Who at the city? Should parks do it?
Right.
Should the fire team do it? Civic life? Should BPS? Like, it gets challenging, right?
Yeah.
The hardest thing, though, I think, and I think that's important for Reimagine, is a part of the idea of sitting in the space to go, all right, tell me what's complicated about it. I'm going to document it, right? And then we're going to check back and say, like, hey, did we find a solution to this issue?
Right.
Or maybe if we get into the conversation, we go, maybe not the city, maybe the county should do it. Or maybe we go, maybe the state should do it and work with a for-profit or a nonprofit that can do that job better and more effectively, right?
Right.
We start to get into the nitty-gritty of how do we get the thing done. And then, you know, again, my job is to go, is everybody cool? Is the folks that are going to do the work, mm-hmm. everybody on the same page? Great. I'll check back in a couple months. Tell me how this is going.
Okay.
Right, that was the vision of what the project tried to do. And really to test, can this sort of accountability mechanism work to get some things moving for our community?
Has it?
I think so.
Okay.
Right? I think some things, especially as I've been plotted it out to share, mm-hmm. some things got done, right? Now, some of those things got done, I would say, because the people involved on, you know, wherever they land, on the government side, to the community side, worked mm-hmm. really hard to make it get done. Some things went nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. Because there wasn't someone that really wanted to work on that.
Okay.
Some things, you know, maybe just not the right time, right? And that's the reality of anything in our society, right?
Yeah.
You know, you want things to move, and it's not always on our schedule.
If someone hearing this now wanted to get involved, what would be the best way for them to do that? Would they come directly to Reimagine Oregon, or would it be to maybe one of the other organizations in the collective?
I think right now, in terms of just knowing about kind of what's going on, they can just contact me, you know, justice at Reimagine Oregon. I won't promise that I can respond super fast.
Of course.
But I will respond, you know, accurately where they can show up. The actual planning, I think it's good to share this because I'm sure it'll be on some people's minds. You know, a lot of the work has been directed towards keeping elected officials engaged.
Right.
Right. And then organizations that have been involved or people that had issues that were, you know, on sort of the table of things we were tracking have been involved. And I've been working, you know, to report out and kind of turn the conversation, recentering the community. And
okay.
really the rest of this year and into next year, that's really where the heart of the work is going to be. There'll be space where we will get elected together in a mass form again. But also we'll be kind of pulling electeds to come in and sit with the people.
Yeah.
Hear how folks are talking about this.
Yeah.
And really, I'd like us to pull from this work, some different understandings about how we do accountability.
Right.
So not just what accountability is, but what are all the ways that we've tried to do it in here. You know, some things that went well, some things maybe didn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. I'm cool with being transparent about process. That's how we get better, right? Anybody's
exactly.
played sports, you know, everybody sees when your jumper broke.
Right.
So you got to keep working on that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then I think the other thing is just keep an eye out so that when there's places that are, you know, really appropriate for folks to come in, especially if folks got, like, deep questions and want to be, like, in deep conversation,
yeah.
I want to make sure that when those spaces are there, that folks connect.
Perfect. So, yes, Reimagine Oregon has popped up recently mm-hmm. In the news and online. Twitter was definitely lit earlier this week. So I'm gonna throw out there what's been said, and then you tell me what is and isn't, and try to bring some clarity to it.
So
one of the initial things that we heard was that there was money that was allocated to Reimagine Oregon that Mingus Maps was saying, hey, they're not using this money. Let's pull that back. And I believe he wanted to put it towards the police department. And then we heard some other whispers online that Reimagine Oregon isn't even a real organization. And they're not a nonprofit, and this is, I forgot what was it called. There's a phrase that they're using for all nonprofits, like the nonprofit industrial mm-hmm. complex and the homeless cartels, and there's just so many different phrases they're using to describe what they envision our work is. So, okay, can we bring some clarity to what exactly was going on here. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. When I did see, like, the follow-up story that the reason funds weren't distributed is because you guys hadn't actually received the funds that were in question, to me, it was like, how could someone on city council not even know that? Like, sir, that's wild.
Well, and I'll try to say this in the flattest way.
Of course. Leave the spice for me.
Yes, but it does become a bit of a inside baseball kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Which hopefully folks understand what that means. basically, in the process of the work that Reimagine was doing, the city said it wanted to partner with Reimagine to put together something, you know, like basically a program.
Okay.
That would be, you know, led, you know, kind of by the table and the folks that Reimagine has brought together and kind of, you know, building sort of a community-led process to do some sort of ongoing, you know, work with those funds that would, you know, target the Black community, target broadly, you know, improve some of the issues. Because the model, and I think this is important to talk about, the demands that Reimagine organized were mapped on a invest and divest.
Okay.
Structure. So, like, some things say, please stop doing this. Invest, start doing this.
Okay. Right?
And so every elected level and different levels of government, when the demands were organized, that's how they were laid out. And so this looked as an investment. Like, all right, the city's saying we want to commit some money annually to do something that has a direct focus. From there, you go to, all right, if the process is important, right, meaning it's not just a let's put together a rubber stamp program and start sending checks to people.
Yeah.
Which I think is what most people assume
about
the world, that that Reimagine is going to start, you know, writing big list, put numbers next to people's names and organizations' names and start sending people money. That was not the goal. And again, and quite frankly, that would be ineffective.
Yeah. I mean,
it would be great for some people if they got some money, but it would not be an effective
way. You guys would just be a pass-through.
Right, which, you know, anybody, I mean, the city don't need us to do that.
Right,
the city can do that by themselves. Exactly. They could just go make a list, start calling people, and ask people to sign up.
Yeah.
So once I came on board, you know, because the project was, you know, pretty much all volunteer in terms of the folks who were on the steering committee and involved in the organizations were ceding their time or putting their staff towards being involved in this work. I came on board and I started, you know, putting together the parts and the pieces. And I said, you know, met with the city. Like, okay, these funds exist. This is important. We should figure out a way to build this.
Right.
Whatever it takes. Because as I see it, we don't have the privilege as a community to just say, nah, we're just going to walk away. So I gotta at least try.
Yeah.
So that's how I see where that starts.
Okay.
In terms of the money getting out the door is, without a process and a program that's built, money shouldn't move. And it hasn't because it's still at the city, which is where it belongs. Because ultimately, there is no intention for that money to land in Reimagine Oregon's bank account or pocket or whatever. Bank account's probably not the best word. But, you know, that money is not is intended for Reimagine Oregon to be, you know, the conduit, the community body to get people together to build the project that can live at the city in perpetuity to do the work. So when Reimagine Oregon's time in this form is done, the city can continue its investment.
Right.
That's the vision.
Right. And
anything else, any other interpretation is somebody else's interpretation. They didn't get it from me.
Right. And it's inaccurate.
Yeah.
Most importantly. Okay. So I did see some footage of you actually at that meeting. Were you aware of what was going to be discussed coming into that? Like, how exactly did all of that play out exactly?
The initial meeting where the First Amendment was created, I basically found out that morning that there was an intention to present that amendment. And, you know, I got myself downtown.
Of course.
So I could have the opportunity to, you know, speak to council. But before then, there was no engagement. There was no call. There was no... We, you know, as I tried to share in my testimony, especially on Wednesday of this week, if there's a difference of opinion, a difference of perspective, a difference of what this should do, let's engage in the process. Let's talk. I don't have to agree with you. Right. It's city government. If right. you got the votes and you're arguing, you know, and if everyone thinks this makes better sense, you know, I might raise a stink about it.
Right.
But ultimately,
it is what it is.
Yeah. Like, but if we don't even talk about it, how do we get there?
Right.
And there's no reason to, you know, if you're sure I won't like what you have to say, that's not necessarily a reason not to say it. Right.
Or to not invite you.
Right.
You got to be sure engaged.
Good, valid reasons. Right.
Right.
I'm upset, too. I don't like the idea of money that could be doing something,
sitting.
Not doing something yet. So right. I'm, as much as anybody, want to get something done quickly and get it moving. However, our community, and I think most folks should know, the worst thing government can do is move fast and loose and just do something yeah. in the name of saying they did something
yeah.
that then ultimately isn't as effective. And again, you're not doing a good use of public funds.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So what's the status now? Where are we now?
As of the situation, as of the meeting on Wednesday, we're mm-hmm. basically back where we were, which was I'm working with, my counterparts now that would be at Prosper, laying out the framework for how we build this out.
Okay.
Right? So then, you lay out the framework. Then you can go to the phase where you start to invite, you know, concerned community that wants to be involved in what the project would be mm-hmm. to come together and start, you know, doing a process. Mm-hmm. Right? That's where we're at. So we're in the let's get the things together because, again, I'm also a strong, I mean, just from years of working in the community, work with folks all kinds, nobody has time to be coming to speculative conversations no. about money
no.
when you got no. work to do. Yeah. Whether that's a for-profit business, whether you're running a giant corporation or you're running a small nonprofit or a small business, mm-hmm. every minute you're away from your work, no one's doing your work.
Right.
So, you know, I am not in the business of going, well, I want you to come give me. And then the other thing is that we like to say, Black people don't work for free. So, you know,
we're done with that.
Yeah. People yeah. want us to come and give them our ideas and tell us what you think. And that sounds great. And, you know, and not be compensated for the time you're spending. You know, in many ways at times, I think anyone that has been civically engaged knows that. I mean, it's a part of it sometimes, right? You got to come and sure. give your voice, right?
Sure.
And that's cool. Like basics, like, hey, where should this stop sign go? Yeah, we should all do that. That's yeah. that's not a big deal. When you're in multi-year, multi-month conversations about something, you got to really just want to see it done.
Yeah.
To keep coming to those meetings,
yeah.
and I love and I praise. Yes, I'm one of those people, but those that do that because right. it's hard, right? It's tiring, but it's necessary for a lot of the things that go on in our society. But on this, I think it's very important. It's always about process.
Right.
And I don't think that I don't think, you know, that's not a fun thing to say. That's not
sure.
always a satisfying answer.
Sure. Sure.
But that's the answer.
Right. Right. What advice would you give or what's some of the insight that you could offer and how we could avoid situations like this moving forward? This is just making sure we're in constant communication.
I think you mean from a in community
yeah.
perspective.
Yeah.
I think in community, I think it is communication. I think it is reaching out. I think it is you know, I got a lot of balls in there. I'm
right.
I'm over here. I'm over there. As much as I'm doing stuff here related to the city of Portland, I got statewide conversations that I'm
right.
a part of and places I'm showing up and other places I'm trying to, you know, be present for work that impacts us.
Okay.
Right. So I may not be able to always tell everyone everything they need to know, but I will always do my best.
Right.
Right. If you email me and say, Justice, I'd like to learn more. Again, that might be challenging. I understand that. So I think communication, though, especially, I would say to folks that are really vested and are coming from a like, yeah, I, this sounds like something that you're talking about me mm-hmm. being on the other end of, mm-hmm. and I'd like to understand better, you know, reach out. And again, I'll do my best to connect, but also keep an eye out right now. Cause like I said, I'm literally working on, like I lost a week of time working on ooh. The community engagement work
right.
that is going to be coming down through the rest of the year. arguing about something that was our that to basically end up where we started at
yeah.
the week before. So just yeah. like I just would love the world to, you know, I don't need no sympathy. I'm fine.
Right.
I'm a big grown man.
Just trying to get back to work though.
My kids love me, you know what I'm saying? My you know, my wife's fantastic. I got great friends, friends of all walks of life. So right. I'm gonna be all
right. Right.
But understand, like, this stuff is hard. Yeah. Man. And but please stay tuned. Email me. Check the website. Like yeah. I said, we're rebuilding the website so it can serve its new role. Okay. You know what I mean? Around really reporting out and sharing, but also being the place to hold these stories about the last 4 years. You know, 4 years. You know, by the way, the crow flies in 2024. It's not. Right. It's not actually 4 years because 2023 minus 2020 does not equal four.
It does
just
not.
Just in case.
In case anybody.
Anybody. Go check.
Is
go
there
check
any confusion?
The tape. Go check the tape. I'm just saying, 2023 minus 2020 does not equal four.
It does not. I promise you.
So yeah, you know, please reach out, and I'll do my best, right? And if you feel like I missed you, you can talk bad about me. I'll be all right. I won't take it personal. You know what I'm saying?
So now that you know, you'll have the ability to you know, get back to the core of what you're supposed to be doing with the Reimagine Oregon. You mentioned some of the. Details. So we mentioned some of the terms that you laid out in conversation with the city that you wanted to get done. What are some of those things now that you'll be able to get back to it? What are some of the, you know, maybe the top five things that you want to...
In terms of the allocation that we've been arguing about?
Yes.
To me, because it's an ongoing investment, the biggest thing
yeah.
is that the city creates something that's sustainable that will do some sort of ongoing active investment. You know, kind of in the economic prosperity and well-being of Black okay. folks, and I don't want to put it in a box because again, we're supposed to have a conversation with people who would be the best part knowers about what they need yeah. to do that, right?
Yeah.
So it's not Justice's plan; it's supposed to come out of the conversation of those who are engaged and present.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the framing, right? Okay. And as always, only things that are within the legal. capacity
of course
of public funds. So just in case, because that's the other thing that now people are deciding to they're floating again, and that's why yeah. I mentioned it. There's no effort to graft. There's no effort right. to misappropriate funds,
right?
And in a perfect world, I'll hear about people receiving direct funds or going to do work related to whatever their economic endeavors are,
mm-hmm.
and I won't see a dollar of it. I'll just hear the stories about, hey man, this project did this and we was able to do XYZ. And
right.
that's the goal. That's right. the work. Right. It's not to send some money to Justice.
Right. To get your finder's fee, your
commission. Yeah, like I'm good. I'll be all right. People love me. I'll get another job if I got to volunteer over here, you know, maybe. I don't know. I'm taking a lot of stones right now.
Of course.
I feel like I should be, you know, I think it's reasonable to be compensated if you're going to be the one in the gap.
Oh,
yeah.
Saying, yeah.
You know.
I'm going to agree with you on that one.
Absolutely.
Yo, thank you so much for your time. This was not just very enlightening, but very necessary, very timely, especially everything that's going on right now. I feel like not just in the nonprofit space, also with private corporations, we're seeing like kind of a reset. Mm-hmm. Like everyone's kind of sliding back like, okay, it's 2023. We've done our DEI time. It's time to fire all the people that we brought in to make these changes. And let's just get back to business as usual.
Mm-hmm.
And part of this did feel like that when I initially saw it. I was like, wow, okay. So this was allocated for a specific purpose. And now we're good. We solved racism. Is that what happened to me? Systemically, we've just solved it? Cool. Nah. So, I mean, there's so much more work to do. I'm glad you're here to do it. Glad you had the time to stop by. And, yeah, man, looking forward to what the future holds.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'll say, one, thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Two, just if anyone wants to count, there's a website where someone has been tracking the number of things, corporate America, the amount of money that was out there in the media.
Serious?
I think it's somewhere. I've been busy the last Ooh. 2 weeks, so I go look for it where they said, we're going to, you know, I think it's like $200 billion in press money that went out.
Right.
People were like, oh, we're going to give to this. And I think it's a little teeny tiny number. I believe it's out there. I'm just going to encourage people.
Wow.
Go look back to the summer of 2020 and the quotes for how much money folks said they were giving to this or giving to that. And now go do some research on what actually is going anywhere, right? So just in case, you know, people worried about where funds are and who's doing what and donations, if you're earnestly engaged.
Right.
But, you know, I'm being, you know, joke time, having fun because I appreciate you. In all seriousness, you know, thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Let's, you know, folks, let's stick to, like, trying to do the work and, like, you know, everything. It's above board, man.
Yeah.
It's not necessary to do all this cloak and dagger stuff, man.
No, like, it's just, not. It's just, so not, yo.
If you don't like it, it's cool to just say, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Like, just say, yo, I don't like none
of
that.
I don't mess with y'all. And then I want, like, that money back.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, we, you know, square business. That's cool. I'm not mad at you. I'm not even going to sweat it. Like, right. I respect that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, and I would say this, and I say this, you know, earnestly. My hope is that even those who may disagree or see otherwise understand that there's no need for animosity,
no,
or anger.
No.
I mean, it just, it's, you know, I got to protect my heart, you know what I'm saying, and keep my cortisol levels down. Like, it's cool. Let's just try to go agree where we can agree.
Right.
And, you know, do the work we can do. Or go, you know, as I always say, when people, you know, or like, well, I'm upset. I'm like, go spend some time with some young people and do something good for somebody.
There it
go
is.
Go help. Go do something with one of your elderly family members or a neighbor.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Do something for someone.
Yeah.
And don't worry about all this stuff. Like, let it go.
Walk away.
Yeah.
Walk away. Yeah.
Thank you again.
Oh, absolutely. I've more recently, I've been echoing this same point over and over again, that some of the loudest people are the ones that are least involved because they have the time to be loud. We don't got, we're out here working. We're working. Mm-hmm. We're so busy. There's so much to be done. We go to sleep and wake up with that running task list.
Oh,
that
man.
Never-ending, you know, running task list.
Do you do the, like, the 6 a.m. wake up where you immediately go back to the 5, 6
yes.
things?
Yes. Immediately.
I'm not alone. I feel
no,
seen.
You are not seen. Alone.
My heart is warm.
Yes.
Thank
no, sir, you are not alone. It's tough. So, I mean, again, for you to be able to take the time to have this conversation is important, but these conversations are really, really important because there are people in our community that are receiving misinformation, that are receiving disinformation, and that are being told that we're not out here active. They're being told that there aren't funds and there aren't people operating on their behalf. So anything that we can do to highlight the work that Reimagine Oregon is doing and any other organization that you're involved in, please always let us know. We are the numbers. We belong to the Black community. We are that mouthpiece. So anything that you have going on, please let us know so we can get the word out.
We'll do. Thank you.
All right.
I appreciate you.
Absolutely. And we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.